Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we're in the Quicken Loan Studios in New York City on CBS Sports Radio. I'm Pharrell with Mafia alongside me in Vegas at the MGM. And, of course, Sam and Carver Hodd, legend, back in the Big Apple. So, national mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully. Mortgage confidently. I wanted to tell you about PharrellOnABench.com. Get ready. The title games are happening in Kansas City and New Orleans. PharrellOnABench.com has you covered. Picks for everything, every day, every sport, every play, everything that's on the board. All the NBA picks, all the college basketball picks, all the NHL picks, boxing, MMA, you get it all. There's going to be heavy UFC picks for you, right, at Barclays?
Yeah, we're going to have a bunch of them up there for you.
And boxing, we'll have that up there for you?
Of course.
PharrellOnABench.com sets the standard. Sign up today. It's cheap. You'll love the return. Hide the money from your wife. Trust me. I wanted to tell you, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS, is brought to you by GEICO. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to GEICO.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. So I wanted to tell you, Carver High, so I've had discussions, it would appear to me, God is my witness, Mafia. You saw me talking to your boy over there about Bruce, about Dallas.
Absolutely.
So we are, it would appear to me, that is go time, wheels up.
We're is that going right?
To, Dallas. We are going to Dallas.
Locked
son.
And loaded.
Locked and loaded. We're going to be going to Dallas. Now, the interesting thing about this, and I have to be careful what I say, because I could get, you know, repercussions. All I know is that they are willing to, if we can pull it off, we could have a bash in Dallas.
Nice. Get out of the media center. Yeah. The stuff in it, just get out and party with the people.
Right. So if we can pull it off, so we're going to have to, you know, make some phone calls.
Got to talk to our friends down at the Ticket.
That's right. We need to get on the phone with the power in Dallas. The juice, the suit, the brass, and see if they'd be interested in having a fight party at a bar in Dallas for the night before the fight. So Errol Spence is fighting Mikey Garcia on March 16th at Jerry's World, and obviously it's going to be a huge event.
You also have the NCAA tournament going on that week.
Ooh.
That is opening weekend of the NCAA tournament.
Well, there you go. I mean, that's obviously some people will be, you know, tuned into that for sure. And there is absolutely no doubt because those games will be over by then.
Even more reason to have a bash, to find somewhere where we can catch the late games instead of sitting in a media center where we can't see the TV because 50 feet away.
Yeah, so we could have a NCAA bash and fight bash at some sports bar in Dallas and do the show from there on Friday night before the fight on Saturday at Jerry's World.
Yeah, so. Friday, Thursday and Friday. Let's do them both.
Good luck with
double
that.
Double barrel parties.
Two parties in a row?
Yeah.
All I know
think
is.
Think big.
Do you remember, like, honestly, like, because I know you got a girlfriend and everything, and Carver High and I are all locked and loaded, married with kids, and. You got kids, and all I know is I've never seen so much leg in all my life as in Dallas. I mean, honestly, I could get in all kinds of trouble there.
I've never been there.
Lovely ladies when we're partying in Lake Louisville.
Carver High, honestly.
Never been to Dallas in my life.
Dude, all I know is that I was moments away from being thrown in a lake naked, and it was close. It just wasn't good. Did I drink then? I don't think I did. No, I didn't.
No, you weren't drinking then. You had stopped before that.
But if I did drink then, I would have been thrown in the lake naked.
I was drinking then.
Mafia was drinking then. He drank enough for an entire platoon. And he did get thrown into the lake naked. Lake Louisville. All I know is we had a really good time, but I did notice that they never talked to me again. I found that it was quite striking in terms of, like, we did it, and then I never, like,
there were all sorts of talks for repeat visits, and it just never happened.
I never spoke with anyone ever again. Yeah. All I know is I love Dallas. I love the ticket. I love their, what do they call them, P1s? They're fans, great fans, great city, great sports fans. And I'm now offering up.
Offering your services.
Well, I think they've seen me live, right? But I didn't really do the show there. I just did all their shows.
Right.
But they've never seen me live do the show in a sports bar, a venue, or whatever, a pub. And I think they'd get a kick out of it, seeing the show live. And I know the fans would love it. So if you want to have a bash, let's start talking. Let's make it happen on Friday, March 15th, because the fight is Saturday the 16th. So there would be Friday night games that night.
There would be
NCAA, because it starts Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, right?
It's also St. Paddy's Day weekend, so another reason to party.
Oh, God, I might start drinking again.
Just the perfect storm of reasons to party for you?
Well, I just – the guy, you know, walked up to me and he said – you know, and I won't say some of the things that he said to me, but he's like, we could make it a really big thing. Like, you know, access mm-hmm. type – he offered up access. Mm-hmm. So you want to see the fight? That could very well happen if you – if we pull this off, and then, you know, hopefully people will get it, see the fight. It's going to be the fight of the year. Trust me when I tell you, Mikey Garcia and Errol Spencer, no joke. That fight is so huge, and it's on Fox. They're putting it on Fox pay-per-view. I don't think I've ever seen that before. Yeah, I've never seen that. Let's go to Mary Ellen in Virginia. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, I am jealous. You are going everywhere. You are the traveling man.
I am. You know, this is the way it should be, because I'm too cool and too good looking and too entertaining to always be stuck in that studio in New York. You know, it's weird. They send all these guys to the Super Bowl and the Final Four.
Yeah.
Yeah, meanwhile, I'm on in everywhere in North America, literally, and the show is 10 times bigger than all of them. And then all I ever do is go to Vegas, which is really a testament to how much booze and drinking and drugs we did over the years.
How much you can avoid now.
And then I can't, so I come here and I do nothing. I'm pretty boring. I work out. I eat. That's it. And then I do shows. But, you know. There's no reason for me not to do a lot of road trips. I used to do them all the time. When I did Pharrell on a Bench the first time, I did them all the time. I would go to towns and do shows live, like Portland or wherever, and put on these huge shows. Thousands of people show up and party their faces off, and it's a really good time. And I think if I had a show in Dallas the night before the fight, I think people would get their rocks off. They'd love it, and I guarantee it'd be a huge event. And it would be a huge show, and it would make some people some money. That's all I have to say. And I should be traveling more. But I will say this, Mary Ellen, that I'm here, and I only have 3 pairs of underwear, and I only have 3 pairs of socks, and I only have 3 shirts, and I only have, I think, 2 pairs of shorts left, and I have I have a quarter can of deodorant. I have... very little toothpaste. I have no soap. I'm using the MGM Crack Rock soap. And then I am I have nothing. I have nothing.
This is the first day we've been here, too. It's not even like you've been here for a week already.
I just didn't think we would be in a snowstorm, stuck, and unavoidable. I guess we can't miss it, and we can't fly home. So now I'm stuck here. And Mary Ellen, I think the big concern is that I only have 3 pairs of underwear and 3 pairs of socks. Because I got to tell you, I'm not
a concern.
Well, I can get deodorant, but I'm not going shopping for underwear and socks before. Like, that'll be the last straw, that I have to go to some mall or something It's just not in my DNA. So I packed what I packed. Somehow I'm going to have to get through. But I will tell you, I'm not a fan of re-upping underwear and socks. So, like, when I wear a pair of socks for, like, 6-8 hours, believe me you, they reek. And when I work out and sweat and run and lift and I come back and my underwear is soaking wet, I'm not really big on wearing that pair again either. So I'm a real clean guy. I shower twice a day, at the gym once, and then before I go to work, I double up. I don't like to I'm not really big on wearing, you know, soaking wet underwear and reusing socks a day later. So that is a concern of the Pharrell this evening heading into the weekend, that I'm very limited. And, like, the pair of socks I put on tonight are a clean pair. My plan is to take them all the way till tomorrow night's show, and I may wear them again for tomorrow night's show. And then if I can go to Saturday with a new pair of socks and make it to Sunday and then get on a flight after the blizzard home Sunday or Monday, if I can go to Monday with one pair of clean underwear, one pair of clean socks, I'll be okay. But I am worried about my underwear and sock problem and my various odors.
You'll be fine. Your personality will overshine the odoriferous problem.
Yeah. I pretty much, once I get to the room, I pretty much roll naked at this point because I don't want to use any of my clothes. So I'm pretty much raw dogging it once I get in the room. I don't do anything. I just completely wear nothing, and I watch TV and lay in bed, and that's it. I mean, I don't really do anything in the room.
Yeah,
although I do stash waters in the expensive fridge, the one with all the, you know, expensive liquor and beer and everything. I stash my waters in there and keep them cold because in the desert, Mary, I can tell you that you get very thirsty in the middle of the night when you're sleeping, particularly if you drink or smoke lots of reefer.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're smoking blunts and you think you're going to come to Las Vegas and just chill out, it's twice as bad. Like when you smoke, let's say in D.C., if you smoked a fatty, you would go to the Nationals game and you'd be thirsty on the way home and barely make it to your house and driveway. But here, you're so thirsty because of the desert that you would clearly have to stop for a 40. You can't just, like, sit around in Mafia with no liquid. As you know, Mafia, did you like my little secret of going back to the check-in area and stealing waters? Did you like that? When they sell them for $8 in the gift store, but right. I go in there. You know what I do? I go in and pretend like I'm making a phone call. So today I was like, I got Malignaggi. We got Leonard Ellerbe. That looks like around 1104 East. We taped that, Broner. It's done. Everything's done. As I'm pilfering, like, bottles of water out of their fridge, I'm just talking like I'm on a phone call from New York, and the people are looking, who's this guy stealing our water? And it's Pharrell. And I am really good at controlling the room, Mary, where I go in with my powerful voice and my good looks and freezing everyone in the room and taking advantage of them mentally and physically.
So is that a bottle of water in your pants, or are you happy to see me?
Actually, it was two stolen cans of Sprite that I took from the media center while Mafia was shasting a couple of Diet Cokes. So whenever we get opportunities to pilfer free beverages or food here in Vegas, we take advantage of that fully. What did you think, Mafia?
Food? You got to get when you can because it's not easy to get here, and if you want to go buy it,
But the free food you've taken advantage of.
Of course you have to. Otherwise, it's like we went to the airport for breakfast. We both got just like two eggs, you know, some potatoes and toast, and it was $50.
That was just $50. So what did you want to say? Foles is going to go to the Redskins?
Well, I wanted to ask you this question.
I could actually see it. I could actually see that happening.
But the thing is, we have so much money tied up into Alex Smith, and I don't see him playing another down in the NFL. But why don't teams...
So what?
Just break the salary cap and just pay the fine. I mean, is that a possibility?
Listen, it's simple. If the guy can't play because he broke his leg and he's finished, if that's the case, then they got to go get another quarterback. What, are you going to sit around and play single wing? They have to do it no matter what it costs. It's that simple. Done deal. I think he'd be a good fit. Good hearing from you. 855-212-4CBS. Call the show, you femmes, and talk about anything, including the NFC and AFC championship games. What are you waiting for? The games are Sunday. You need to be on the phone with me right now. Who do you think is going to win? Are the Pats going to get it done at Arrowhead? What do you think of the weather at Arrowhead? Can the Rams go to Bourbon Street and knock off the Saints? Are the Saints overrated? New Orleans, I want to hear from you. L.A., I want to hear from you. New England, Boston, I want to hear from you. Kansas City, I want to hear from you. Why are you not on the phone with me talking about the title games? Call now. I'm taking your calls. I'm live in Vegas for Pacquiao Broner. This is CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
Carver High's a legend. He hasn't shaved in about, I don't know, 10 days.
Wrong.
Looking like Grizzly Adams.
Changed it up. I finally got rid of it.
Today?
I think it was actually yesterday.
Nah,
but
you were full on beard last night.
I was not.
Yeah, you were.
Yesterday was my first day without
it. Mafia, he had a beard last night when we went to work. As sure as I'm sitting here.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't really
You don't
care. I don't really.
I can tell you, I know for a fact it was yesterday because the only time this week I would have had a chance to do it was yesterday when I got home from the garage.
All right. So you cleaned up a little bit?
Yeah, I have to. I got to start getting ready. I got to get the haircut. I got a week to go here. The jackets are going in the cleaners tomorrow. Everything's happening.
Everything's getting. It's all rounding into form. I will say this. I had a neck hair I just noticed tonight. I shaved it, but it was one of those like Rick Haro ones where he gets like the 12-pounder hanging off of his neck. And do you remember when he used to come in the studio and we'd make him do the show with his shirt off?
The one time he did that, yeah. I'm scarred for life.
With his hairy back and his hairy chest. The guy is literally like a – he's like a –
takes his shirt off and he's still wearing a sweater.
He's like a Wolverine. Rick is in Georgia. You're on CBS Sports. I'm taking your calls now, so call the show, Femlips. Go ahead, Rick.
Man, I think it'll take a double shot of Hennessy privilege for this, man.
A little Henny, a double shot of Henny. Check out a little Henny. They're drinking Henny. Oh, Mafia, tell them the story. We're walking in the lobby to MGM at 9 in the morning, and I see this chick. What is she doing?
She's on her knees, like, you know, digging into her bag and pulls out a bottle.
A liter,
and just starts chugging it before the check-in, like, not even in her room.
Spiced rum.
Some drinks or something, just downing spiced rum at 10 o'clock in the morning before she's even checked in.
And she had a liter of Coca-Cola as well. So she was raw-dogging the liter of of spiced rum, and then she hit the liter of Coke, and she was on her, like, knees in the lobby of the MGM, like, of all places to be, you know, spotted chugging out of a spiced rum bottle out of your mouth right on the bottle. Like, it was unbelievable. I'm like, you got to be kidding. That is strong effort right there. So what's up, Rick?
Sound like she had a great night to me. Well, check this out, man.
She's probably having a great night now.
Well, I want to get my take on Bill Belichick and the Patriots and how they're going to attack this high-explosive Kansas City offense, man. You got to think that he going to take away something. And obviously people are probably saying you got to take away the pass, the passing game. But you can't take away the passing game because regardless, Mahomes not throwing up over 300 yards almost every game this year, I imagine. So you got to go with the less obvious and take away the run game and cripple them that way. And you're going to watch Belichick and Brady at their best come Sunday and easily defeat Kansas City.
Yeah, I don't frankly believe that they have a running game to begin with. I don't. So I think that Mahomes is going to have to throw the ball 55 times to beat the Patriots. I really do. And that means he's going to have to throw the ball 55 times in sub-zero weather and wind chill. So good luck with that. But look, it's not going to be any easier for Brady and the Pats. But like I said, they both play in cold places, you know, at this time of year. It doesn't matter if the game was in Foxborough or at Arrowhead. It's freezing cold, and it would be freezing cold in Boston. So it is what it is. I don't think these guys – I've always said this. These guys are not afraid of the cold weather. They go out and man up, and they, you know, go short sleeves, and they play, and they act like it's nothing. I think there's some, you know, freezing hands and feet, and I think there's, you know, some uncomfortableness. But I do believe that overall, if you're playing, if you're on the field playing and you're involved in, you know, game snaps and plays and you're in the offense or defense and on the field, I don't think those guys are as affected as the guys that are standing on the sideline freezing their asses off. Derek in Boston on the hub.
Hey, what's going on, Pharrell?
Hey.
Can I get a Captain Ginger, please?
Can we get him a Captain and a Ginger?
So, yeah, I wanted to talk about the Patriots. Guys, before I kind of stole my thunder, I do agree that you got to take away the run game of the Chiefs. But I feel like Arrowhead is right up there with Seattle for one of the best home field advantages in the NFL. And especially where the Chiefs are in the AFC title game, that place is going to be jamming. But the main reason I feel the Patriots coming out on top is because Tom Brady is pissed. He's pissed.
Yeah.
Everyone.
What is he pissed? But what's he pissed about?
Well, they've always played the underdog card, even when they weren't really considered underdogs. And
please.
I don't know.
Give me a break. Give me a break, Derek. You got to be kidding, right? Like, when are the Patriots the underdogs? This whole underdog thing that they're running with, and Edelman selling $30 T-shirts is pathetic. They're underdogs, my ass. They've never been underdogs. This is, you know, Vegas has, you know, them favored the Chiefs by 3 because they're playing at Arrowhead. And the Saints are favored by 3.5 because they're playing at the Superdome. That's the only reason. If this game were in Boston, the same thing would be happening. The Patriots would be favored by 3 or 4.5. That's all there is to it. And Tom Brady's pissed off. Tom Brady is better than anyone that's ever played the game. He's not afraid of anything. He's not afraid of Pat Mahomes. He's not afraid of the Chiefs' crappy defense. The first time I ever saw that Chiefs defense play well, frankly, this year, even though they won all those games, they did it with offense. The first time I saw them play good defense was last week against the Colts, to be honest with you. And I don't buy that the Patriots are so mad at everybody because they, you know what, they have nothing better to try to draw straws at than to come up with some bogus "we're the underdogs" nonsense. They know they're not the underdogs. You go to 8 straight AFC championship games and all the Super Bowls they've been to and won, and how many in a row, and how many out of 3 out of 4, and 4 out of, I can't even keep track of it. So believe me, you, there's not a whole lot of people that are taking the Chiefs. Carver High, is that true? Like, now that we're deep into the week, do you sense a lot of people are taking the Chiefs?
No, not particularly.
Everyone I know is taking the Patriots. Stay on the line. I'm going to take your calls nonstop. Do not give up. Don't, you know, geek out and hang up. Chill out. I'm coming right back from Vegas to take your calls nonstop. San Diego, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Providence, wherever. Chill out. I'm getting your calls. Crack a cold one. Spark it up, Sparky. Chill the most, and I'll be right back from the MGM at Pacquiao Broner on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
We're in Vegas at the MGM. Carver High and Sam are back in New York. I'm with Mafia here for Pacquiao Broner. Did you see the Lakers beat the Thunder by 10 in Oak City, Mafia, in overtime?
Yeah, we're watching that game, the end of it, the end of the fourth quarter through overtime. And it was a good game. Once they got to overtime, it seemed like all the Thunder were doing were driving and kicking for threes.
Chucking threes.
And they just weren't hitting any of them. They didn't try to make something out of it. They didn't try to move the ball a little bit more, make the extra pass, and maybe get a nice little drive for an easier jumper. And it burned them because the Lakers just did exactly what they didn't do, driving to the basket, making them work, making them foul them, or, you know, letting them hit the layups, and they won by 10.
So, Carver High, what did you think of the Ottavino deal? A guy had a 2.43 ERA in over 77 innings last year for the Rockies. Isn't he the guy that said he could strike out Babe Ruth?
He did say that. I love it. Look, you keep adding bullpen arms, that's fine with me. We've seen baseball the last few years, especially in the postseason. These guys are running out to that bullpen by the third or fourth inning. Yankees have a lot of quality arms. They're going to need it.
That's a great sign by Cashman. 855-212-4CBS. Let's go to Jason in Connecticut. You're on CBS Sports Radio. I'll get everybody on. Chill out. Here we go.
Hey, Scotty. Great to talk to you. How are you, brother?
Cool, man.
Cool, man. Let me tell you this, brother. I feel the same way you do about the Patriots. I'm so sick and tired of them. I'm so sick and tired of these Patriot fans. And I want to tell you this. Where were they in 1992 when they had the number one pick in the draft, when Parcells had to save their lives, when Parcells had to draft Bledsoe because they were awful, the Patriots? Now you got all these stupid Patriot fans because they can't lose. I'm so sick and tired of listening to them. I've been a Giant fan for 30 years. I'm sick and tired of the Patriot fans, and I hope they get blown out this weekend. I hope the home shows fall all over the place. Belichick is never going to be Parcells. Parcells made him who he is. If it wasn't for Parcells, he'd still be fishing in Minneapolis somewhere or something like that. I don't even care about him. I'm so sick and tired.
Well, I'll say this. I'll give you this. I think you're right in that Bill Parcells created the monster. I think he's the credit for who Bill Belichick is. I think, but I do believe that Belichick has run with it and taken the torch and gone to places that, you know, even Parcells hasn't and never did. And I think, you know, what Parcells did with his career and the success he had with the Giants and with the Patriots and, you know, somewhat with the Jets and Miami? Wasn't he there too? Am I losing my mind?
Dallas.
Dallas, obviously. Did he coach the Dolphins?
He just ran them.
Yeah, he ran them. So anyway, but I think, I don't think, you know, frankly, he did as well as Belichick. I think Belichick, you know, when he coached with the Giants and Lawrence Taylor, I think that made him. I think it created the beast, and I think that he did the rest. And so you have to give him credit whether you like him or not. The guy has been, you know, the greatest and brilliant. And people can say whatever they want about him. He's got all the hardware. He's got all the records. He's got all the wins, the rings, everything. There's no one that can say a bad word about him. You can hate him all you want. He's a winner. Bill in Massachusetts.
Pharrell, what up in Sin City?
Love oh, shake it.
Super informative. Shake a do.
Oh, I'm glad you like it, man.
Hell yeah. Yeah, I've been listening to almost every episode. It's sweet to start the day
with.
Oh, cool.
With.
Anyway.
Oh, man, tell your buddies.
What's that?
Tell your friends.
Oh, you know it. It's been happening. I've been
cool, man.
Spreading the good word, brother.
Thank you.
As for Pat,
so what'd you want to say? What'd you want to say about the game?
Yeah, I think it's gonna be an epic game, a potential passing of the torch type game, and Brady's gonna laser focus his hold on that torch with plenty of Edelman, James White, and hopefully a sprinkling of Philip Dorsett for clutch catches. My quick question to you is: here in Boston Sports Talk, we have this thing, the Andy Reid buffer. How many points down in the fourth quarter do you have to be against Andy Reid to have a chance, a shot at coming back? So I've heard things like 10, they still will have a good shot. Even 17, they'll have a shot. So I'm just wondering how, if the Patriots are down in the fourth quarter, what's the max it'll be for Brady to have to be too much for a comeback?
You know, that's a great question. I would say, you know, I'd say a maximum of 14 that Brady could come back from 14 down on the road at Arrowhead in 0 degrees with a negative wind chill. That's about as far as I think he could do, to be honest with you, based on fourth quarter you're talking about. But, you know, anything's possible if they're down. So, you know, the Saints were down 14 zip and they beat the Eagles. So, you know, that was first quarter. So it's different in the fourth quarter. I believe if the Chiefs are up 14 points in the fourth quarter on the Patriots, I think the Chiefs are going to win the game. I don't think they'll do that on the road. I don't think he'll, in those conditions, come back from 14 down. I really don't. Fred in Massachusetts, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Scotty, I love your show.
Thanks, man.
you had a call in while I was on hold there that was saying about Brady being pissed, and, you know, that's the furthest thing from the truth. I agree with you. You've nailed everything about the Patriots the last 2 weeks on where exactly they are. It's amazing that, you know, you don't live in New England. But anyway, the I think he's laser-focused. I think he realizes that, you know, the time is now, and they are a different team in the playoffs than they are in the regular season. Their regular season was kind of odd to follow and uncharacteristic for a lot of things, but I think they've got it down. They're laser-focused. I do like how they're using Gronk as a blocker. I think he's helping Brady, you know, gain a little time in the pocket, and the fear factor is probably not there, so you can give me your take on Gronk, on how they're using him.
Well, I think it's the end of the road for him. I think he looks like a guy that, to me, has aged rapidly in his football body. I think he's taken a lot of abuse and dragged a lot of people down the field and stepped on a lot of people's faces and has been hit a lot. And he doesn't look like the same player. Not even like, do you remember the last two times they lost in Denver? I'll never forget that fourth down pass from Brady to Gronkowski at Mile High. That was, to me, that was the greatest, in my view, play that Gronkowski ever made in his career. That was the biggest catch. That's just me. I'm sure he made ones that he thinks are better in you know, Super Bowls and in the end zone and, you know, touchdown catches. But as far as big plays, that was the one I'll remember the most. But I think his days are clearly numbered. As far as Brady goes, I really believe that he realizes that the window for him is closing. He knows that he's, you know, 41 and there's not going to be many more chances like this. Now, if he were to, you know, like LeBron, go to 8 straight finals, this guy goes to 8 straight AFC title games, there's no telling what he could do, let's say, in his remaining, if you were to, you know, make it to 45, how many, you know, if he plays, you know, 3-4 more years, let's say he does it and gets back to the AFC championship game, let's say 9, 10, 11 straight years, that will go down as the greatest feat in the history of sports. So this guy's success and postseason runs and playoffs and championships and Super Bowls and rings and titles and fame and fortune is unequaled by anyone in anything. You know, you're not going to tell me about, you know, Lance Armstrong, who cheated the whole time he did it, or anyone. Like, you know, there's things that, you know, we've talked about dynasties. That's fine. Winning 4 straight Stanley Cup like the Islanders did is absolutely impossible now. To go to that many title games in a row is the most phenomenal thing I think I've ever seen in my life. And the fact that he's ultra, mega, super alpha male competitive. The guy is obsessed with, I think, not just winning, but perfection. And, you know, being a winner, a leader, and someone, he's just above the fray. And I'm amazed at what he's done. And I think that it's going to be a long time, really, because everyone just wants to anoint these guys like Pat Mahomes and Goff and all these young guys. They've already anointed Sam Darnold in New York. It's pathetic because, you know, they're already like comparing him to Joe Namath, and he's better than Namath and everything else. And the guy threw so many interceptions. It's just like USC all over again, if you ask me. So I think the Jets suck, but I think he's got talent. But, you know, canonizing him already is ridiculous. And no one's going to do what this guy's done. It's going to take a long time, if you ask me, before we ever see a guy ride a horse that goes to 8 straight AFC championship games. I mean, 8 straight. Just think about it for 1 second. And the fact that this guy wants to keep playing and go for more is insanity. But I think he realizes at the end of the day that the window's closing and it's now or never. And so he wants – I think his attitude, his chip on his shoulder is, I need to do this to, you know, put the cream on the, you know, the icing on the cake, the cream on the dessert. He wants to finish it off and win another one. And he wants to go to another one, and he wants to go to another one after that, and another one after that. If he has 3 years left, he wants to go all 3. I don't think that's going to happen, but I've been wrong before about him. I never thought he'd win 5, and then I said, if he wins another one, have him call me, you know, call me then. And then 5 million people drove me nuts and called me, and I wanted to kill myself. Look, the guy is the greatest that's ever that I've ever seen. I used to think and argue that it was Montana. I stopped that argument. I'm done with that. He's already passed him. He's passed everybody. He's the greatest player that's ever played. Whether you like it or not, you can hate me for what I'm saying right now. And the problem is, when you go to bed tonight, you'll realize that I'm right. I mean, there's just no arguing it. There is no arguing it. You know, you don't like him. You don't like his wife. You don't like the way he is. You don't like he never answers questions and he smiles and all of his nonsense. But the fact is, the guy is going to – he's going to go to – Carver High wants to puke right now when I'm talking like this. I know you do. But the fact is, he, without a doubt, there is no, I mean, absolutely, unequivocally, the greatest player ever in the history of the NFL. I don't care. People can talk about Jim Brown until the cows come home. No one has done what this guy's done, ever. I mean, it is crazy what this guy's accomplished. And it's going to take a lot to beat him in this game. But I think this kid... you know, this changing of the, you know, guard, the passing of the torch, it's inevitable. And it might very well happen on Sunday, literally, with both games. It could be the end of Breeze's chances of going to a Super Bowl. It could be the end of Brady's chances going to a Super Bowl. I'll believe it when I see it. I do want to see it, but I'll never stop respecting what I saw from Tom Brady in his brilliant career.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.